someone's going to follow and stick to. That plan is going to be different for you. It's going to be different for me. It's going to be different from my neighbor, my husband, my kids. It just depends what they have going on in their life, and it's ever changing. So I have really learned that I myself thrive when I'm being coached.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. All right, what's up, my friends? This is Conversation 91 of the Christoph Lewis Podcast, and I'm very excited that you're here with me today. Like I said, this is 91. This is getting close to number 100, and I'm super excited. Actually, I'm very excited because today's guest is unique in the sense of I talk to a lot of military veterans, people that are transitioning, people that have transitioned, but this wonderful human being is the spouse of a transitioning vet. So I think that brings a very, very interesting and unique perspective, as I said, and she gives us a lot of good examples, and we talk about this, about how you can maintain your career while your spouse is in the military, because a lot of times the military, you move every 2, every 3, 4 years, and it's hard for a spouse to maintain a career, have any kind of career. So how do you get over that? How do you actually have a career that you can hold on to more than those 2, 3, or 4 years? We answer those questions and a ton more about how to have a good relationship and build up a relationship in the military. So many of these things can be used for both military and non-military personnel, and I know that this can be applicable to many, many, many people. And I'm so excited to share with you. My guest today is Alexa Gruber, and she's been a friend of mine for a while, and I'm very excited to share her story. Remember, you can catch this episode and all other contemplations, the conversations on christophlewis.com/podcast, and you can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
It's so cool to have you on here. Obviously, we've known each other for a while. We lived in the same building for a while back in Virginia Beach, Norfolk area, and to keep in touch with you and then to get you on here now after seeing everything you've done is really cool and really special to me. So I'm very pumped to have you here today.
Thank you, Chris. Those were the good old days.
I know. Jordan and I miss that place very, very much. Living so
and
close.
Carter, our
yeah,
dogs,
and the dogs. Older. Yeah. So very
before
much.
Before babies, before no care in the world.
I know. And that's like, I was telling you a little bit offline, like some of the stuff I want to talk about, because our lives have changed drastically. And I'm trying to think of like, it was probably like 2, 3, maybe even longer ago, because we started living there in 2015. But our, like you said, like things are really busy. Like you're a mother of two, your husband's in the military, he's transitioning out of the military currently right now. So I think what's already super unique about this podcast is that typically I speak with people that are transitioning out of the military. But you being a spouse of somebody who's doing that, I think it's very unique. It brings a very unique light to it. Also, because you're a mother and you're starting a business, you're doing a business, you have plenty of your own phone calls that you were saying, you know, coaching other people. So I'm really like eagerly anticipating kind of diving into your mindset and how you conduct all of that stuff. It's so cool. But I know I talked about a little bit of what we discussed in the introduction already, but if you could introduce yourself and kind of like, what did you used to do and what are you doing now?
Okay, great. So, hey, everyone. I'm Alexa, like Chris said, and I am a currently military wife still, maybe for about 6 more weeks, 5 weeks maybe. Like you said, mom of 2 little boys, John and Jackson. John just turned 3, and Jackson just turned 1 in June. So they're about 2 years apart. We also have a chocolate lab, Largo, and he keeps us very busy, and he helps us meet all the people in the neighborhood. We currently live in Washington, D.C. on South Capitol Street. So like like Chris said, we met when we were living in East Beach, like down in Norfolk, Virginia. And that was a very laid back atmosphere. Then boom, I pull up and the Capitol building is like a mile down the road, as big as day. And like, we are in the city, living the city life. So we have done kind of like a 180 from the beach to here. But that's what military life brings. And we have fully embraced it and try to make the best of every situation that we're in.
I love that.
And what we're doing now.
Yeah, we felt the same way. You know, we moved up here to DC, not dead in the center. Like, you guys are like right there downtown area. I mean, I obviously don't know that well, but being next to Capitol Hill and all of that, and we're out here west a little bit more, but still, like, it's changed so much, going from like a beachy environment to in the city. And that's a lot of what, even like, I think what's unique, speaking about things that are unique, things that are unique about the military is that even though you're not career transitioning out of the military, you're moving like every 2, 3, 4 years. And that's not just the service member moving, that's the entire family. So that brings a lot of extra stress. So it's like you're having this perpetual loop of career transitions every few years. And you're right, it's crazy. You go from one mentality to another mentality, and it's it can be hard to wrap your head around and like start over. And I know, at least, and this is just what I've heard, but spouses having to, they have to almost sacrifice a career sometimes, of what I've heard. And I think maybe that's what's cool about the career that you're doing now, is that you don't necessarily have to sacrifice what you're doing because you can do it remotely from anywhere. Would you agree, or do you think that's like a benefit of what you're doing now? And I'd also love to hear more about what you're doing right now.
Yeah, exactly, Chris. You're totally right. So one of the main factors why I decided to start my own online personal training business was because I did have that flexibility of being able to move anywhere in the country and A, not lose my clients, B, not have to start over in somewhere else, and C, like, I got to work my own schedule and could work for myself instead of having a boss or going to the gym or a studio, like I did briefly when Tim and I first got married. I was training on the floor for not even a year. So, like, if you could count that as a career transition, I don't even know. I've been doing this longer than how I, like, when I got started. So, yeah, that was a huge factor for me. And, you know, Tim's schedule, like, with the military schedule, he was working, when we were first married, he was working a rotating shift work schedule. He was on one weekend a month. So, like, every 7 days, his schedule would change. So, and he worked 12-hour days. So the first 7 days, you know, I'm sure you're aware of this, but for those of you guys listening to the podcast who aren't, you know, he would work, like, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then have, like, one day off. And then the next shift would be, you know, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. And then he would work night shift, which was, like, you know, work all night long. So, like, go in at 7 p.m. get back home at 7 a.m. type thing, which,
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
shifts were 12 hours, but typically they went longer than that. It was just crazy. So we were like ships in the night when I was working on the floor as a personal trainer. I would literally get home from work and he was going to work. And then I'd have to work some weekends and then he was gone. It was just not good for our relationship. Like, that's not good for any relationship, like, let alone a marriage. And so that is just one thing that we knew that we wanted to change pretty early on.
And that's a really important thing to want to change early on. I mean, I've seen a lot, like I've said, I've read it in articles, in books, I've heard it everywhere that that's such a huge strain. Now, my wife and I, you guys are obviously familiar with Jordan, but we've been together for 5 years, and just the tail end of that was in the military. So she got the tail end of a deployment and I was gone for like 6 months, and that was it. Now, it was still difficult, and that was part of the reason that I transitioned out of the military. So I do understand that, but if we would have kept on moving around, like, she would not have been able to live where we were living and, like, maintain her job. So I think it's really cool that you kind of thought about that and were like, well, I don't have to constantly rebuild clientele. I don't have to, I'm not tethered to a, you know, a position, a actual city where I have to work that job. So I think it's, that was like an awesomely smart decision. And now, like you said, you were two ships in the passing night and you're able to see each other more, and then with children, and then the other one's just turning 1 year old. And now you're able to raise the kids more. I would not say more, but you're able to spend probably the time that you want with them, as opposed to having to get a sitter and go work at a job. And then so you're seeing your husband less, you're seeing your kids less, you're spending money on having a sitter or daycare or something like that. So I think it's very smart. And I think what that says to me, and words of encouragement to anybody listening, whether you are that person in the military or you have a spouse in the military, is to think outside the box. It doesn't necessarily have to be what Alex is doing right here, but that's an awesome idea. There's a million things that you can do online. It doesn't have to be, you know, physical training. It could be art, it could be music, it could be speech, it could be anything you want, but be able to open up your opportunities like that and be able to do what's best for your family. Because I was talking to Jordan before we started, and she's like, oh, ask her how, you know, it would be to, like, how do you guys work on maintaining your relationship when one half is in the military? Because that's something that, I mean, like, the divorce rates in the military are higher. The divorce rates in, like, special warfare and special operations are even higher than that. So that's one of the most prevalent, and I think one of the most important questions, is because if you don't take care of your relationship, then your mindset isn't really right for what you're doing.
Absolutely. Like, I think the divorce rate is around, like, 70% or something. Like, astronomical. That's one of the very first conversations Tim and I had together, actually. We got to know each other from distance. He was actually on deployment when we started emailing each other. It was crazy. I went to school with his younger sister, Jocelyn, and she was like, you know, I just got out of a relationship. She was like, you need to date my older brother. And I was like, yeah, okay. I basically listed off this long list of super specific characteristics that I wanted in a man. And she was like, yeah, you described Tim. I'll set you up on a date, blah, blah, blah.
That's awesome.
When we first got to know each other, Tim was like, you know, I don't even know if I want to be married while I'm serving in the military. Like, that's a legitimate concern that he had. And I was so glad that he was honest with me from the beginning and say, hey, you know, like, I don't want this to be me. I don't want to be a statistic. Let's be as proactive as we possibly can so that we are not a statistic. So Tim and I got married with the intention of, you know, divorce has never been an option for us. You know, that was never even on the table for discussion. And we are the type of couple who is very proactive, who's very self-aware of our needs. And, you know, we're not perfect by any means. Communication is not perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But just having that mindset, like what you were saying, of being proactive and knowing it from the start going into something, is going to set you up for success down the road when those hard times come, when you can't talk to your husband, when you only have email connection, when, like, everything goes wrong when your significant other is away, because that's when everything goes wrong, when they're away. You know, having that backbone in place, having that steady mindset is huge. That could be the difference for a lot of people.
Yeah, I totally agree. That always reminds me of one of the biggest lessons that I ever learned in the military, was having all my gear prepped ahead of time. Like, being, I was a comms guy, a lot of people know that, like, so I had a lot of gear, and it had to work all of the time. So I was always out there making test calls, doing all these things that I had to do. And that's one of the most massive lessons that I've taken away from the military. So if you can apply that, like you've said, to your relationship, you have the tough calls, or the, you know, the tough talks and the tough emails and all these, like, you have these tough conversations with your spouse about, like, what are we going to do when these situations arise, and you agree things, and you essentially, you know, you prep your relationship gear as much as you can. And obviously, like, things happen that you don't plan for all the time. But I think the more that you do plan, the more you are prepared for even the times that you're unprepared for. And what I mean by that is saying, like, it takes less stress off of you because you are prepared by default for more things. So obviously, maintaining a relationship through deployments and through email, like, a lot of people aren't familiar with that. Like, that's a huge thing. Like, most of 6 months of our relationship was, like, text and email. So I understand that. And whether you're in the military or not, there's people that are working across the country from each other, and there's civilians that deploy for certain kind of jobs, right? So that's a huge thing, and just being open and proactive was the word you said a couple times, and that's massive. And self-awareness is something that I know you talk a lot about with you and your clients, and I talk it with me and my friends and people that want to work with me in that manner. And self-awareness is massive, but I think having like a relational self-awareness of kind of knowing exactly what you guys are about is massively important for the way and the direction that you're going to take your relationship, and just going to be like the best thing you can possibly do for your family. So I think it's really cool that you guys had those discussions beforehand, and that like he was honest. He's like, you know, I'm not ready to be married right now. I don't want to be that statistic. But then when you guys were ready, you're like, it's not an option. We're going to make it work, and we're going to make it work because of all these things. I think that's very awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I was telling you, I think it's so cool. I think like 99% of the content that I see you put out is directed at like literally directed at helping other people. And what I think is so cool about that is not just what I said, but something that comes up a lot with people is like with myself, for example, like I was super focused on bettering myself, and it took a lot of effort and a lot of energy. But then I realized like once I started getting that, those gears turning in the right direction, did I realize like, hey, it doesn't stop here. It stops with helping out other people too. So I always like posing the question, like what was kind of the shift in only or not only working on yourself, but at the same time trying to help other people? Because obviously it doesn't end with like, okay, I figured it out with myself, like now let's help everybody else because I'm perfect. Like, you know, we're not perfect. So I'm curious like why you choose to like donate so much of your time to help people.
That's a great question. And to be totally honest, like we are always a work in progress. This is what I firmly believe with every ounce of my being, that we are always going to be learning, growing, working on ourselves till the day we die.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like to the day we die. And when God says, you know, that that's our final day, we take our final breath, our job here on this earth was done. But to go back to your like initial question, you know, why am I so passionate about pouring into others, other people's lives, especially like the women that I train and the people that I coach? To be honest with you, it started back from when I was little.
Interesting.
And I will never forget this, but I was in my room packing up my childhood room when I was going to get married, and I stumbled upon a journal that I had kept from when I was 10.
Wow.
And it was just like, you know, like little fill in the blanks type stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, color this picture, do this activity, answer these questions. And it asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my answer when I was 10 was, I want to help people make good decisions.
Wow.
When I was 10, Chris, like I blew my own mind. But then I was like, of course, like that is what I've always wanted to do. It's never been this set career. Like, I didn't go to school to be a vet. I didn't go to school to be a doctor. I didn't go to school to be a teacher or whatever. But, like, I have found that calling in coaching.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
Wow.
And I know that I've been on this planet to make a deep impact in other people's lives, to teach them, to coach them, to literally help them make good decisions in their life so that they become a healthier, happier, more confident person at the end of the day, so that they can go serve wherever they're supposed to serve, whether it's their family, whether it's their career, their job, whatever. Like, they need to become their best selves in order to serve others the best. And that's what I strive to do myself. You know, I try to really practice what I preach. I believe that that's one of my strengths, is practicing what I preach, you know, doing a daily workout, moving your body, fueling your body well, learning more about nutrition and what it takes. So like, what does eating healthy look like? What does eating healthy look like for me? And because, you know, there's really no set clear plan. And this is why I love one-on-one coaching. And this is where I'm taking my business now, is like strictly one-on-one coaching now, because in a group setting, you can't really get that personalization. Because the best plan at the end of the day is the plan that someone's going to follow and stick to.
I agree.
But that plan is going to be different for you. It's going to be different for me. It's going to be different from my neighbor, my husband, my kids. It just depends what they have going on in their life, and it's ever changing. So I've really learned that I myself thrive when I'm being coached. I have a few personal coaches right now. Mm-hmm. I just hired a business coach yesterday.
Nice.
I'm super excited about that. because I myself love being coached. I want to have, you know, an open mind, an open heart, be willing to learn and grow and learn from my mistakes. I'm like, please tell me all the things I'm doing wrong because, you know, I want to be able to improve. But at the same time, I'm not being molded and shaped and succumbed by like the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I'm not easily swayed. Mm-hmm. I know my goals and my intentions and all of that. And I'm not easily swayed. And I am a pretty good, what's the word? Like I'm pretty good at deciphering who would be good for me to work with. Mm-hmm.
Because your goal, your own.
Very strong. Yeah. And so being connected to my church. Yeah, it's been huge. It's been huge in my life. It keeps me grounded. It keeps me centered and focused. And without Jesus Christ in my life, I mean, I really couldn't be doing anything, even talking to you right now.
I think all of that is amazing. I think going all the way back to your 10-year-old self blows me away. I think that's really cool. I feel like most of my life, I had no idea what I wanted to do, and rarely do we. And only until recently have I figured out that that's almost just a blessing in disguise. And you're able to do, now you have unlimited options. You're not really, just nailed down to doing something. So when you say you want to help people from such an early age, and like you said, you don't have to, you can do it as a doctor or you can do it as, you know, whatever profession is out there. But if you have like such a deep why, such a strong why, and you know exactly what you want to do in that sense, at least of helping people, then you don't necessarily need to know like, well, I need to go to school for exactly this and I need to do exactly this. Like if you know you want to help people, like there's a million different ways you can help people. And it goes about all the way back to like we were talking about you doing remote work where you can have your clients anywhere, right? So you can also help people all those other ways as well. So I really like seeing how you progressed through that and how it came into fruition of this 10-year-old notebook and journal. One of the other things I wrote this down, like practice what you preach is so important. And to me, that's leadership. Leadership is incredibly important. I think how I conduct myself on a daily basis, and even because I would include social media, like the things that I put out on social media, good or bad, is leadership to me, because people obviously aren't going to want to subscribe to the podcast, or they're not going to, you know, I'm going to have no legitimacy at all if I don't practice what I preach. When you want to influence other people's lives in a good way, not in like a quote unquote influencer way that we see on social media. I don't mean it in that sense. It's kind of been diluted, that word has, but I mean, when you want to positively impact people's lives and influence them for the better, you absolutely have to practice what you preach, and you have to be a leader in that sense. And like one of the other things you said is like, there's no set clear plan at all. And that like coincides exactly with you knowing that you want to help people, but not necessarily knowing how. And I think if you just continue to maintain that mindset that I want to continue to work on myself, I know I want to help people, and it's okay that there's no set clear plan. And then like, boom, here you are. We're having this conversation. You're building up your business. You're continuing to help people. You're able to do it while your husband was moving around, and now he's doing his own career transition. And you guys are just going to, it's not that anything's wrong with your relationship now, but it's going to be even better. Like I always tell like, people are probably so sick of this by now, but I always quote the Good to Great book from Jim Collins, and Jordan and I talk about it all the time. I'm like, baby, I love our relationship right now, but I'm so excited to make it better. And that's in no way any shade on our relationship currently, because just as I'm excited to be better tomorrow and the day after for myself, I feel exactly like that with my relationship. And it doesn't mean we just have, oh, we have so much to improve on, we're terrible now. It just means like, we're good, but let's continue to work on ourselves and be better for ourselves and for our relationships. So you said so many good points there. I just had to rattle on for a moment there and try to come back on all those. But I really enjoy what you're doing right there.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and you've had like your fair share of obstacles through everything we just said. I mean, with the military alone, like being a spouse, like we said, I mean, or anything, mind you, but have you had like anything that maybe stuck out in your mind to where maybe you didn't think you were going to be able to even do what you wanted to do? Or is there just a clear obstacle that stands out in your life that you maybe learned a great lesson from?
Oh yeah. So right off the bat, it's like, I knew nothing about business, like nothing. So then, you know, imposter syndrome creeps in.
I know that.
And all the negative self-talk and all the doubts. I am my own worst critic at the end of the day, like hands down, you know, like negative self-talk is just craziness. But when I wanted to start my LLC, you know, it kind of just keeps morphing into this thing that's getting bigger and bigger and growing and evolving and changing and kind of rolling with the punches, which is great. I absolutely love it. But, you know, I started off because there were some ladies in the neighborhood of East Beach where we lived after I had John and I was home with him who were like, oh, hey, like, do you think you could train me?
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Like, I had like two or three clients, but like under the table. And then at first I was like, no, you don't have to pay me. I'll just help you. It's fine. And then, like, they started giving me cash. And then I was like, I don't really feel comfortable about this. And then some other people caught wind of it, but, like, I didn't really know them. So I was like, what about liability insurance and, like, all these things? I was like, oh, my gosh. So I was like, I just need to be official. I'm just going to start my own LLC. And I did not even know that it's important, this thing, right? Like, have this virtual studio, like, be focused on one-on-one clients now. Like, I did not even know. But no one knows when you get started. You don't know what you're really getting into. You just have a passion and desire. And this is, for me, a deep driving why. And that's really what it was. So I always told myself, I was like, you know, I'll give myself a good solid 4 years, I think, like after I start my business to really learn like the business of fitness, like just to treat it kind of like another college degree.
Sure.
But instead of getting a degree, I'm just gaining experience and knowledge and all these things. I would much rather learn by doing than go back and get another education for like thousands upon hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
With like nothing to show for it. So I think there is a lot to be said for going out and learning by doing and overcoming obstacles as they come to you and knowing that obstacle come. Mindset of, you know, oh, of course that this is expected. You know, like this is not going to be easy. And just take each one as they come and learn and grow from it and keep evolving. So
it's so funny how you may not know what you want to do in your life. And then what I think is funny is that like people come up to you and they're like, hey, do you think you can help me with this? You can help me with that. And that's like one thing that I've seen repeated. And I love having talked to so many people. This is number 91. The 91st guest is who you are, and seeing repeat things come up like, oh, what do I want to do? Like, so ask yourself, what are people asking you to help them with? And it could be anything. And I think a lot of times it's things that you don't even think are maybe important, because the better you get at things, I think almost the less you think of their importance. Do you know, like, oh, I'm good at that, that's easy, like nobody would ever want to know that. And I think you discount like how good you actually are at things. And so if people like coming up to you and they're like, oh, do you think you could like coach me on this or that? And you're like, yeah, you do it. And then it's so funny to see like your mental evolution of, yeah, I'll coach you for free. Oh yeah, I'll take, oh gosh, there could be some things going south here real quick. And then forming the LLC, wanting to protect you and your business, and just figuring it out on the way, just doing it. And I'm the same way, like learn by doing is so much for me. College clearly wasn't for me. I dropped out after barely two semesters. And all of the jobs that I've gotten, like all the positions I've gotten in the military, the jobs I've gotten post-military are based on things that I've gone out and done and proved that I can do in a stressful environment, and then used to like leapfrog into another job saying, hey, here's my proof. This is how I work. This is my work ethic. This is, you know, I have integrity. I'm coachable. All of these things that you're very familiar with. And then using that, like you said, learn by doing education to help, like, I don't have a college education, but I have the learn by do education. And to me, that's like, that's real life, like tangible stuff.
It could be worth more. It could honestly be worth more.
It could be. And I do want to like, especially note that this is like how you learn, and this is how I learn specifically, and there's probably other people that do that, but I always like pointing out, like, college may be your thing, like, you may want to go that way because it's required for the career that you want, and so be it. I just kind of want,
I don't, for the record, I don't want a brain surgeon operating on my brain.
And neither do I. Like, certain positions require that, so, like, I think it's absolutely. just like you talk with your clients, like, options. There are options out there. Don't feel, you know, like you're pigeonholed to one form of education. And I think it's so cool how, again, like, seeing that evolution in yourself and in your own story, and then, like, now here you are, and it's so cool to watch you. You know, we do most of our, well, I do a lot of my business, quote unquote, business, like podcasting and connecting with people on Instagram. And it's so cool to, like, see your own evolution. And I think it's so, like, I'm very particular about the people I follow. And I think it's, for me, it's very fun to be able to watch the evolution of somebody else that I've seen, like, what you've done in the last, like, 2 or 3 years or whatever. And it's, like, motivating to, like, I talk to some guys in, like, a mastermind that I'm building outside of the podcast, and to see, like, each other's growth is very, very powerful. So, two things you said, like, you're working with clients more and more one-on-one, but you also, I know you have group chats and that stuff, that, like, accountability is so, so important.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I did want to say, like, I know our time's up, but I wanted to say something very important that I think about in the middle of the podcast. You said was, you know, very much how to pick a coach, and you said you're very particular about that. And one of the things that popped in my head that I wanted to say before we got out of here is, I think that's the case, like, my humble opinion, I think that's the case because you have had all these conversations with yourself, with your husband, and you're very self-aware, like one of the very first things you said. And I think because of that, it's easier for you to find a good coach, a good mentor, and honestly, friends in your life, because you've looked in on yourself first before looking out. So I think that's, like, you're such a good case study of, like, when you want to attract good into your life, if you want to, because there's shitty mentors out there, like, there's crappy people, there's a lot of stuff out there, right? So if you want to attract the good in your life and know who to select, because we live in the information age where you have no idea who to pick. So go out there, educate yourself, have that self-awareness, and you'll be in a much better position to select somebody to help mentor your life. So I just wanted to say that I love that you said that.
Thanks, Chris. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with you. I think we could have, again, many of these can double, triple in length and talk about so many things, but I absolutely loved our conversation. And I want to have people know where they can find you if they want to follow you on Instagram or see your online business and everything you're doing. Where can they find you?
Absolutely. So the easiest way to contact me or to find my page and what I'm doing is right on Instagram. And my Instagram name is at AlexaGruberFit, and you can follow me there. And if you have any questions, just shoot them to me in the DMs. And if you want to apply for, you know, a free consult, that's totally fine. I have a link right there in my bio, super easy to see, and you can fill out that form and we can chat.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. And like I said, we kind of started with talking about the uniqueness of what you bring to the podcast. And I think it's so cool seeing you on the other side. Like I said, I talk to a lot of veterans who are serving, and to see, like, the other side and see, like, I want to instill more hope in people. And I think sometimes maybe a lot of those divorces can come from hopelessness. And, you know, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but giving opportunities, knowing that there's opportunities, things that you can do remotely, and you don't have to give up your career, you know, and I wouldn't want you to. So learn from Alexa. Like, she's doing great things out there, and it's been such a pleasure to speak with you. Alexa, like I said, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to sharing this with everybody. So have a great rest of your night.
Thank you.